Welcome to Fanboy News Network, your guide to geek culture. I'm Jeff Harris.
And I'm his sister, Jillian Venters of GothicCharmSchool.com.
Hi.
Hi.
So as Daniel and I said last time, he's on vacation, and since we knew what events were coming up in my life, we knew ahead of time Jill was going to be the co-host this episode.
Why, yes. And what events were those?
So, actually, you know what's interesting? The last episode was entitled Between a Convention and a Bat's Day.
Right.
So, yeah, we attended Bat's Day in the Fun Park.
Yay! Bat's Day 19.
Yeah, which we, I don't think we can call this episode, because this is the second time we've talked about Bat's Day in the podcast.
Right, but this was the first time you went to
Bat's
Day.
First time I went. So this episode in a lot of ways is kind of a request.
Oh, that's right, because people on Tumblr were asking that we did a podcast about this.
Yeah, so here you go, people on Tumblr. Your wish is granted. We are going to do an episode discussing this year's shenanigans. So let's kind of set this up first off. Let's, for just a moment, assume that nobody decides to go back and listen to the previous episode. What is Bat's Day?
Bat's Day is an annual event that happens at Disneyland. It is not an official Disneyland event, but the Disney staff do work with the event organizer. And it is essentially a day where goths from all over and of all generations come to Disneyland and take over the park. We do a group photo in front of the castle, which I don't know what the actual numbers were this year. I haven't seen what numbers are, but we had a large turnout. There are people who roam around the park. We do photos in front of the Haunted Mansion. The event runs all weekend in that there are events that happen at the hotel Friday and Saturday. There's a vendor's market. There's usually some sort of like masquerade gala. But the actual Disneyland event itself is on the Sunday of whatever weekend Bat's Day is. And that's the only event you have to go to. And you don't even have to go to that. But if you're going to Bat's Day, that's the event to go to.
Yeah. So, obviously, we've been talking about this for a couple of years. This is your third Bat's Day, right?
This is my fourth Bat's Day, actually.
Okay. So, you've been there for a while. Now, of course, we both have gone to Disneyland multiple times.
Yes.
But this is the first time you and I have gone together since the 90s.
Yeah, since 1996?
Five or six. Due to people's memories, it's a little...
I am willing to say 96.
96. We can go with 96. So, just over 20 years since we were at Disneyland together. And my first time back to Disneyland since my honeymoon.
Right.
So, this year, first off, for our local attendees of Bat's Day, which again, it was a huge event.
I mean,
we blotted out the castle in some ways.
We did.
So, our traveling party this year, besides the two of us, was my wife, Larissa, and our friend, Gothfather.
Yes.
And yes, for we didn't fully check with him how he wants to be addressed, so we think just Gothfather.
Gothfather, that seems to be the safest bet.
Will work. So we attended, and so for getting there, the first thing, of course, anyone has to determine when they're going to Disneyland after they figure out the dates is, where am I going to stay? And I think we did pretty well.
We did pretty well. We were at the Paradise Pier. I have come around totally to staying on property at one of the Disney hotels just because it makes it easier to get in and out of the park. The Disney hotels have this wonderful feature called the Concierge Suite, where if you opt for that level package, it's basically a suite room that you can go into for like 12 hours a day, possibly longer.
Mm-hmm.
And they always have snacks. They always have beverages. They have multiple different snacky meals during the day. Like, they have a continental breakfast, they have hot hors d'oeuvres in the evening, and it's a really, at first you think, okay, this is an extra cost and I don't want to deal with it, but when you look at it, it's a really good way to cut down on the amount of meals you're eating in the park.
I really feel it pays for itself.
It does, because you can always go back to your hotel, take a quick nap, change shoes, put on more sunblock, run up to the concierge suite, get water, get extra coffee if you're me, get a snack, and not have to worry about in the middle of the day at the park going, oh my god, I'm starving, I need some water, I'm going to have to pay park prices for it.
Right. So the last time I stayed on property, I was at the Disneyland Hotel, like you were, And I know we've both done the concierge suite there. There, it's on the top floor of the hotel. You can oversee the park. You can see the fireworks show. This one was on the second floor.
Right.
You can't really see outside. However, again, the service is impeccable.
The service is wonderful. And one of the other things with the concierge suite, if you go with that particular level at a Disney hotel, the staff gets really, the housekeeping staff gets a little wacky. And leaves you plates of treats in your hotel room. And if you are traveling with fuzzy companions, they will carefully rearrange them on the bed after they've done their housekeeping. So we would come back to the hotel room and find my stuffed bunny and Jack Skellington and stuff like that carefully arranged on the bed, sometimes with the Kindles near them, with a plate of mouse-eared shaped marshmallow treats near them, just all sorts of things. It was one of those little daily delights to come back to, which is part of the Disney property's sort of attention to detail and attention to making sure you are having what they call a magical experience.
That, and also, I mean, just in the suite itself, they, again, are very helpful on the, we'd like a reservation at the Blue Bayou.
Yes.
We'll help you with that. So my wife and I had these Uber water bottles.
Oh, that's right. You had the water bottles of doom.
And these were the kind of water bottles that you fill them, and if you have ice in it, the ice will stay ice. Like 12 hours later, it was still ice. That's the kind of insulation. And we'd go in and go, can you fill our water bottles? And they'll take them in back, put in the ice, put in the water, come out, and here's your water. Plus, there's just the, you know, breakfast alone.
Yeah. Being able to stumble out of the hotel room, go to the concierge suite, get breakfast, and then stumble back up to the hotel room to actually get ready to go hit the park was huge. Mm-hmm. Was a very important and very helpful thing.
Then just the staff engagement. They'd sit and talk with us for a while. It was just... And
they frequently demanded that I come back after I get fully dressed and made up so they could see what outfits I was wearing that day and stuff like that.
So, and then for families, they have movies playing the whole time for keeping the kids engaged. Well, and the other thing that's very nice about it, and I know we've talked about it before, but I'll always reiterate this, they let you take a certain amount of stuff out of the suite with you.
Back to your room. So being able to make sure we were able to take back like fruit or cheese and put it back in our hotel, in our room refrigerator. So when we got back to the room at night after the concierge suite had closed, there was still a snack for us.
Or juice boxes.
Juice boxes.
Parents can take the Crustables with them for their kids in the park. It's just... it is that extra Disney touch. I mean, yes, it's an extra charge, but it so pays for itself.
It's really worth it. And of course, one of the other things I like about staying on site at a Disney hotel, and this is a blessing and a curse, if you buy anything in the park or at any of the stores in downtown Disney, if you let them know when you're ringing up, oh, I'm staying at one of the park properties, they will deliver those things to the hotel by like 6 a.m. the next morning. And on the one hand, this is great. You don't have to carry stuff around the park with you. On the other hand, this is dangerous because if you're not carrying your purchases around the park with you, you may, in your enthusiasm, lose track of everything you've bought and just go a little nutty, which I didn't do.
Nope.
I was very proud of myself about this, but I can totally see where it's possible that by the end of the night, you're like, I'm not carrying anything. I totally did great. And then you go get your packages the next day and you're like, oh, wow, I bought every piece of Haunted Mansion merchandise. Okay.
We did pretty good. I mean, all of that's the
yes.
Boy, we'll get to that in a minute. So the other thing I liked about having stayed at Paradise Pier, again, it's basically across the street, the actual street from Grand Californian and just off to the side of the Disneyland Hotel. But in the end, what that means is it's just not that much extra walking.
It's like two or three blocks to get to downtown Disney.
Yeah.
As opposed to across the street from the Disneyland Hotel or with Grand Californian, where you have a private entrance from that hotel straight on to downtown Disney.
Yeah. So, but it was nice. That's just it. It was nice. The room was actually slightly bigger than the rooms at the Disneyland Hotel. And I don't know, it just felt, the one thing it had was the elevators are these newer style elevators you're starting to see around. It's the same style we have at my office at work, which is, you go up, and instead of pushing up down, you actually push the exact floor you're going to, and it will tell you, go stand in front of elevator A.
And one of the things Gothfather and I kept joking about with the hotel elevators is that there was one particular elevator on the corner of the building that basically you could see into California Adventure from it, mm-hmm. and it was right by the California Screaming roller coaster. So more often than not, we would get in that elevator, and then we'd be greeted by the screams of terrified children.
Yes.
So, you know, we were like, oh, okay, there, our day has started. We have heard the screams. All right, so.
Now, as for, if we take this in order, building up towards where we went.
Oh, sure, be some, well, like, systematic, you know, about things.
I like to, you know, let's build, because we're getting to the good stuff, but we did have several friends in
yes.
the park.
Yes, Ryas and Monty from the Villain Edit and from Eldergoth Central were there, and Ryas was with us on that trip in 96.
Yes, she was.
So this was the first time we'd been back to the park with Ryas. Our friend, or my friend, Meg Creelman, and her husband and son and mother were there, and Meg is one of my old friends, and I love her to bits. A bunch of just people I've known off and on from going to Bat's Day events. On the day of Bat's Day itself, my friend Queenie from Pocketful of Posies and her wonderful husband Matt were there, so I got to see them, which was nice.
And just as is my nature, I will find people, even if I don't actually know them.
Right.
Friday, first ride that Larissa and I went on was Pirates of the Caribbean, and the couple ahead of us was from Tacoma.
Right. But that wasn't the first ride you went on.
No, the first ride I went on
Friday.
Friday.
Right, not on Thursday.
We'll
Sorry.
Get to that in a second.
Sorry.
And then we met some other people also from this area, because I remember going, oh, I think they lived in Edmonds.
Huh.
It just, we found the Washingtonians.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, well, I do know how my wife.
Well, yes. Yes, she doesn't know strangers.
She doesn't. Everyone's, she will talk, it's great. Although I think getting into that first, well, before we get into the first ride, we also had, I think one of the meals we didn't do too many meals in Downtown Disney.
No.
But we did try out this year the Jazz Kitchen.
Which is wonderful.
So this was, Ryas organized a dinner for us the first night, Thursday, that yep. we were there. It's, as is with many Disney properties, it's not cheap, but the food warrants the price.
It was delicious. It was a I mean, it was a very nice place. It was, it had, you know, faux New Orleans ambience. We were seated out on the veranda, mm-hmm. and which I had a direct view into the restaurant, which means when someone at a table inside the restaurant got their order of Bananas Foster and the wait staff set it on fire at their table, apparently I had to be stopped from climbing over the table because I have this attraction to flaming desserts. So
we actually had a debate. Should we get the Bananas Foster? I was like, that will lead to madness. Let's get Bananas.
I am perfectly safe with fire. I have never accidentally set anyone or anything on fire.
And it's always that one additional word you put in there that worries me.
Well, yeah, if I'm doing it deliberately, I know what I'm doing, and I've taken safety precautions.
So, no, it was nice, but Thursday. So we get in on Thursday, we get settled into our hotel, and then we, of course, make our way to the park. And, of course, so there's certain traditions
yes.
we observe, and this trip was very much the appropriate combination of the traditions I have developed and the traditions that Jill has developed. For my tradition, it's a very simple one. I always enter the park through the left gate.
And having taken up this tradition with you, because before it didn't matter to me which side of the gate I went in, what mm-hmm. side to get to Main Street. But now I kind of have come around to coming through the left-hand side gives you a better opening vista of mm-hmm. being in the park.
And that's what I like. It's like the magic is slowly revealing itself.
Yes.
In a very pleasant way. The very first ride we went on, of course,
was my tradition.
We went to the Haunted Mansion. The only debate we had was what route do we take? Because there was this question of
do we want to go through Frontierland or do we want to go through Adventureland? Because both ways will get you to the mansion.
And I think we determined that Frontierland is just a straighter shot.
It's a more direct route, yeah.
So we did that. So we get into the park, and of course we're immediately in the line for the mansion. Now, one thing I think is important to point out is that Jill, in a masterstroke of pre-planning, has these cards she prints out.
I have actual Bat's Day cards. So they've got the Gothic Charm School website URL on them. They've got the URL for batsday.net, but they explain what Bat's Day is, because I have learned from other times going to Bat's Day that because I dress more eccentrically than the norm, people will stop me and ask me what's going on. And, you know, why are there these various goths roaming around? Why are you dressed like this? So I'm able to give them a card and say, here, this explains it, but it's goths at Disneyland.
So those, we all actually had them on us. Yeah. I had copies, Larissa had copies, Gothfather. All of us, I think we even gave Meg some.
Yeah.
And so we were pretty well armed to the teeth on what's going on. Well, this is what's going on. But we get into the line, and immediately we're there, and our people start coming out of the woodwork.
Yes, the Goths go to the mansion. This is what we do. I mean, it is my ancestral home. I will eventually move in there. I kept asking for my rental agreement. They wouldn't give it to me. But eventually they will.
Although there's an interesting story to go along. And it was the first trip, I think. So,
yeah.
So anyway, so we're in line. First off, this one young man decided to come up and just gush on your dress.
Yes, just burbling about my dress. And I was in one of my standard summer outfits, which is a sundress with a lace dress over it and a big hat.
But we also met some people. There was a comparison of lipsticks.
Yes, there was a wonderful gothy young lady in line who she and I kind of burbled at each other about our outfits. And I'm like, wait, what lipstick are you wearing? And we were in separate parts of the line for the mansion, but we kept passing each other as the line would wind through the queue. So that gave her enough time to dig into the depths of her purse and find it. And now I don't remember what brand it was.
You took a picture.
I took a picture, so it's somewhere on my
phone. Somewhere on your phone, but yeah. The point was that we had that encounter. But then we finally got into the mansion proper. And since this is the Bat's Day weekend, the Haunted Mansion was definitely a focal point. It's always going to be a focal point with you, but since we talked about our traditions of the park in general, we've developed some definite Haunted Mansion-specific traditions.
Yes, there's the taking of the picture at the Haunted Mansion sign when you're walking up to the gates.
Mm-hmm.
There's particular corners in the foyer that we like to stand in.
Mm-hmm.
I like to stand in the farthest
corner.
We all are silently reciting the intro from the Ghost Host.
Mm-hmm.
Walking down the hallway to get to the Doom Buggies, I always touch the heads of each of the Bat stanchions.
Mm-hmm.
I keep also trying to figure out how I can smuggle one out under my skirts to get home, but I don't think that's going to work.
We're going to have to take a casting. I really think that's the only way.
There was a vendor at the Bat's Day Black Market, which means they will be on the batsday.net website, that was doing metal full-size replicas of them.
Yeah.
Like, I looked at one and kind of freaked out, and I'm like, this is like $800. I cannot justify buying this right now, but you better believe it's going on my birthday wish list.
Yeah. So we have that. And then, of course, there's the getting to the Doom Buggy. And with four people in our party, it's always the who goes with whom this time. Now, since this was the first trip, I think it's also worth pointing out, this was, I've lost count, but it's in the double digits, clearly, of the number of times I've been to the Disneyland. And you've been more often than I have.
Right. But this was Gothfather's first ever trip to Disneyland.
So this was Larissa's second as an adult.
Right.
First since our honeymoon. She'd had 2 one-day trips as a child. So this was her second multi-day trip. But yes, this was Gothfather's first time at Disneyland, period. So he was getting to, A, kind of following along with our various Disney traditions, but also just getting his first experience of everything, including the mansion. And with a name like Gothfather.
Yes.
So we have some new traditions that got added this time to the trip. So, of course, with the mansion, you get in your Doom Buggies and you're going through. This trip for me, I realized, especially with the number of times we went on, and we'll get to that in a minute, that after a while, I'm starting to look at trying to observe the things that aren't your normal focal points
right
on a ride. Because once you do something enough, it's like, okay, what's new? That was actually a thing for me on several rides this time was, what have I not ever looked at
what
before?
Are the new additions?
So one of the things, and this wasn't our first trip, but one of the things that'll happen is usually when they're loading somebody on that needs extra help getting on the Doom Buggies, they have to stop the ride. And there's this thing, playful spirits have interfered, and you just sort of stop where you are, and some of the effects are still going on. One time when Jill and I were in the buggies together, we stopped in the initial hallway mm-hmm. with the Doom buggies, and looking over, we noticed, well, there's a book standing on a stand right there. And we started musing, what's in the book? Because it wasn't blank.
Right. There was obviously writing in it, but we couldn't tell what it is. And that's something I've been meaning to ask a friend of mine, because a friend of mine on Facebook used to work at the park, mm-hmm. and I am not naming their name for reasons, because they occasionally, with other park members, would sneak into rides after the park closed, or before the park was open, and have photos basically in areas of the ride that you never get to.
Yeah.
So there are photos of some of my friends actually like in the ballroom at the Haunted Mansion, which I am so frothingly jealous about that I can't even articulate it. I just...
Although I finally, so for years, I know there was, because of the way they have the glass structured in the Haunted Mansion, to get the effect of the ghosts in mm-hmm. the ballroom, there's an extra, and that somebody years and years ago had shot at it.
Yeah.
And they apparently disguised it as a spider web. I'd never been able to spot it before, but this year I finally zeroed in. Oh, it's right there. Because I was always, for some reason I got it in my head, I was looking in the wrong spot.
Okay.
This year I finally spotted it. So, as an added notice, but I think one of the really interesting, well, first off, you've seen him now, but since his return, this was my first time where there was the actual Hatbox ghost.
Which I love the effect of it. There are people I know who aren't as happy about how they did the Hatbox ghost, that they think it looks a little too modern and a little too digital, but I'm entirely pleased with how they put that in there.
Well, that, and plus the problem with the reason they took him out was the effect never worked.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he maybe looks a little modern, but the technology has caught up to make the effect work.
Exactly.
The one that I don't like, that I wish they would update somehow, is the bride. The way they do the bride hologram takes me out of the effect a little bit.
I don't know. I like her. I like Constance.
I like her as a character. I would just like to see the effect itself updated a bit.
No, that I can get that, but I'm just so gleeful about her no matter what. So.
So, but one of the other things, this was Gothfather's contribution to our traditions.
Oh, that's
now.
Right.
Right after the Hatbox ghost, the Doom buggies turn, so you're going backwards. You're going backwards and slightly downhill. And throughout the ride, I don't know if this is something people notice, there are raven figures throughout the ride. That was the initial idea, was the raven was supposed to be the ghost host.
Right, the raven was going to be the narrator.
But one of the ravens, Gothfather named Roderick.
Yes, and basically Roderick is directly overhead as you were tilted backwards going down the hill.
So he would always wave to Roderick. And one of the other times when Playful Spirit stopped our buggy, right under Roderick. So
Gothfather was very happy. He took a photo, waved at Roderick. It was all good.
But I think the other interesting moment was, there was a point, and this was on our first ride, a Playful Spirit stop happened, and the timing of it was just right, that Jill and Gothfather's buggy, which was ahead of us, was right at the ramp where
basically
the bar had already lifted up. They could get out, and
the
cast member working the ride said, "Do you want out or do you want to wait?" And we'll get up, and they got out, walked off. But Larissa and I were just back, and the bar had not lifted up. And she said, "You, on the other hand, have to stay here forever." And I was
damn
like,
you.
And I was like, oh, Jill's going to be so jealous.
Damn that's you.
And her goal forever. So actually, when we got out, I told Jill that, and her reaction was, excuse me, I'll be right back.
Turned around. Went, I was going to go back in. But
so one of the things that is always the check every time Jill goes to the park is to see if she can beat her previous record for number of times going on the Haunted Mansion.
I go on other rides at Disneyland, and I love Disneyland as a whole, but the mansion is my special place. And there are days where if I'm at the park, if I'm left to my own devices, I pretty much just do continuous loops.
And actually, it was funny. One day, we were going to the park, and there was something had gone on that I was in before Larissa, because she was going off to do something else. And so I was left to my own devices, which is fine, but can be sometimes dangerous. So I was like, huh, where am I going to go? well, it's the first I'm in the park. I'm going to go to the Haunted Mansion. Why not? It's family tradition. So I go there in the line by myself. I'm in the line for a couple minutes, turn around, and who should I spy but you?
Well, it's when I was talking about going to Bat's Day on Tumblr, and I did a whole FAQ of, you know, what is Bat's Day and how do you find me? And I explained what I wear and how you can find me. And then I also said, look, just look near the Haunted Mansion. There's a better than even chance that if it's a day I'm in the park, I will be somewhere near the mansion. It's just a thing.
And sure enough, so I basically let people go ahead of me until we all caught up, and then there we were. So how many times this time?
20! I am never going to be able to manage that again.
You were dedicated.
I was dedicated.
You were dedicated.
I was very dedicated.
And we did get one magic moment.
We did get a magic moment pass, which I did not even know existed. So this is a thing occasionally cast members will give random attendees.
So what happened was we were going through the line, and they, to control the line, sometimes cut it off. And I'd gone past, and then the lady cut it off, cutting off the rest of our party. Said, "Oh, I walked back," and she's, "Oh, you guys are together." Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Handed us a magic pass.
So that's a pass to basically get you into the fast pass line.
Right.
For whatever ride you choose.
So again, it's one of those moments of the things the cast members are authorized to do. And part of it, I mean, it wasn't like I was upset. I was just like, oh, I'll wait too. And she's like, oh, and the immediate reaction is like, I have minorly inconvenienced you. Here's a magic moment. But I think, again, that's Disney. I mean, if you want to look at everything, when you're having your encounters with the Disney staff, they are the best trained.
Service training is amazing.
It is. I mean, the level, I stopped a random cast member in the park because I had a question about the fact that the park closed at 10, but there was a parade scheduled for 10:20. And she said, oh, both are true. You can stay in the park if you are lined up for the parade. That's all I want to know, but just randomly stop. I do think we should give two special mentions to two other rides, though. The first is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes. Which is Gothfather's favorite ride. Yeah. So he was very excited that we, on Thursday night, when Gothfather and I went back into the park after dinner, because we had a late dinner Thursday night, and Jeff and Larissa decided they were too tired. They didn't want to go back, but Gothfather and I are like, no, we must go. So we go back to the park. We were heading to the mansion, and we went through Adventureland this time and went right by the entrance to Pirates, and there was no line, which is unheard of for Pirates of the Caribbean. So I was like, okay, we have to take advantage of this right now. So we were able to immediately get on Pirates, and he hadn't been on a Pirates of the Caribbean ride since he had gone to Disney World when he was like 9. So it was a big deal for him.
No, and it's a special ride. It's you know, if anyone asks me what my favorite ride in Disneyland, the instinctual answer is always going to be Haunted Mansion. But I also have great love for two other rides, and one of them is Pirates, and we'll talk about the other one in a minute. And the Pirates experience this year, again, it was I've done this so often. So our first ride was a group ride the one that Larissa and I took, which was the first ride in the park on Friday. Where we met the folks from Tacoma.
Okay.
And we got on the ride, and it was the experience. And I was looking at, has anything changed? No, it looks basically the same. Oh, they've gotten rid of Blackbeard in the mist with Davy Jones. It's just Davy Jones again. Good. So I had that experience, but later on we did a group family, and you and I were actually seated next to each other on that one.
Yes.
And that was one where there was obviously something a little wonky technically with the ride, just slightly.
Yeah, the boats kept shuddering in a way.
Well, there was something going on, and this was the ride where I went, you know, I've been on this so much. I started looking away from the focal points. Like, what have I never noticed before?
Right.
I'm going to look in the opposite direction of where you're clearly designed to be watching. And one of the things I noted was in the bay where the pirate ship is attacking the city, right before you enter the city proper, I saw flashlights.
Right, that's right. We did see those that day.
And I think it was cast members doing some kind of check of the ride since it was
being a little wonky.
Yeah. So there was that. I also remember looking away in the prison scene where they're whistling at the dog, looking the opposite direction just to notice the theming over there. I noticed really paying attention to small details on the stonework.
Right.
Again, but it's like it's nothing that takes you out of the experience. It's all very well themed. It was just interesting to do that.
And the lines for pirates over the 5 days we were there were insane. They were just massive. And partially that's because it was only like a week and a half before that Johnny Depp had made his surprise appearance as Captain Jack Sparrow in the park. And so there were people who were hoping to catch that magic again, which, you know, obviously wasn't going to happen. But also the Friday and Saturday we were there were grad nights, which is a uniquely Southern Californian thing where high schools can basically sign up for a package deal for their graduating class, and the students get entry into the park. One of the parks, usually California Adventure, stays open later just for people with grad night armbands. It's a way to try and control any sort of parties that the kids may go through. Instead of you guys going and having your own graduation parties, okay, everyone's going to Disneyland, which means the park is packed. The park is packed with teenagers.
Yeah. So there was some of that, but it was definitely interesting. Now, the other ride I want to talk about that near and dear to our hearts, but had some interesting reactions, was the Jungle Cruise.
Oh man, Gothfather hasn't forgiven us for that.
So I love the Jungle Cruise. Again, this is a prior to melding the traditions with Jill, it was usually my first ride in the park.
Right.
Because I would take it in a very clockwise fashion that I would enter the park and immediately turn towards Adventureland and then kind of clockwise myself through the park. So Jungle Cruise was actually our second ride on Thursday.
Yep.
And so we get in the ride and you know, Gothfather being the newbie was like, so what is this going to be like? And it's like, well, imagine our dad with a microphone and a captive audience.
And animatronic animals.
And of course, since Gothfather actually knows dad, his first reaction was, uh-oh.
I think he actually said, I have chosen poorly.
Yeah. So we get in there, we get through the queue, we get on the boat, and it starts. And we had a particularly animated skipper.
Yes, for our first trip we did.
He was very enthusiastic. And I thought as a skipper, he was doing a great job.
Yes.
Especially some of his digs on the other skippers back at the dock.
Yes.
We get off the boat and Gothfather goes, that was dad jokes the ride. Yes.
Yes. And you have to understand that mine and Jeff's goal for dad for his retirement, we have always said, okay, what we need to do is we need to move dad down to Anaheim and get him a job at the park being one of the Jungle Cruise skippers, because it would be perfect. It would be perfect.
He would need no training.
He would need no training. He would probably give them new jokes. Yeah. Yeah.
So one of the running jokes after Gothfather's reaction, though, was I have an app on my phone. In fact, I still have it. I still look at it because it reminds me of our fun. It's an app that simply gives you a map of the parks.
It's the official Disneyland app.
It is. And it tells you the wait times.
And it also keeps track of any of your dinner reservations or anything like that.
Yeah, it's great. So I would every once in a while give a report of, all right, Haunted Mansion has a 20-minute wait. Pirates of the Caribbean has a 40-minute wait. Hey, Jungle Cruise is only 15 minutes.
And then Gothfather would just start sputtering at us.
And it's like, that's because no one wants to go on it. Hey, Tiki Room's only 10.
Oh, Tiki Room.
So, now the other thing, so we did one night, interesting, we didn't do fireworks from Main Street.
No.
We actually were in New Orleans Square.
Right.
Which means we didn't get to see the projections on the mansion or the Matterhorn.
Right.
But the fireworks show, and the fireworks show is definitely geared for Main Street, but it's still pretty enjoyable.
Oh, yeah.
Even on...
even off on a side part.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of fireworks, things exploding in the sky that aren't going to hurt me. Yes, this is good.
And then we also, Larissa and I once again did World of Color, because she loves that show. It's in California Adventure. It's at the Lagoon. This year she bought, there are mouse ears.
Right.
With light up ears. And they will sink.
they have a RFID chip in them, and yeah, they will sync to the programming of the event so that as things happen in World of Color, the mouse ears change color. They had the same sort of thing for Fantasmic.
They did, and apparently those mouse ears will also sync to the fireworks show.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
We were told it would sync to the Electric Light Parade, but it didn't, so that I think somebody just assumed because it synced to the other shows.
Right.
I think it's because the Electric Light Parade is an older show.
I don't know if they've updated a lot of the technology.
They haven't. I remember seeing the Electric Light Parade because it was still going when we went in the 90s.
Yes, that's right.
So we saw it then, and I can report that it was the exact same floats.
All right.
Nothing was different.
Okay.
So seeing it again was nice, but it's like, and I don't think I need to see it again. I've gotten the nostalgia out of my way.
Right.
I would like to see Fantasmic again, though.
Yeah, Fantasmic. Because I saw Fantasmic from the line in the mansion the last time I went, the Bats Day before that I went in 2015.
And currently it's shut down because everything in Rivers of America is shut down for the building of Star Wars Land.
Yes.
Also means we didn't have the train.
We did not have the train, which it only was my last trip for Bats Day in 2015 that I learned that the train is a great way to get around the park.
Yeah.
I did not realize this. I thought the train was just a wacky little thing, and then you go through the giant caverns where there's the reproduction of the Grand Canyon, and there are dinosaurs fighting, which yeah. I don't remember from history books, but okay.
Yeah.
I'll just go with it.
I had developed it definitely as I'm in New Orleans Square, I need to get to Fantasyland, or I need to get to Tomorrowland. You know what? I can sit down and have somebody move me.
Right.
So yeah, those were fun. We finally got on Peter Pan this time.
So did I.
Not last time because it's, you know, for a ride that I think lasts maybe 3 minutes. It has a long line, but I think it's because yeah, it's a 3 minute ride, but it's a glorious.
It's 3 minute. A beautiful 3 minute ride. There's a strong nostalgia factor there.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the busiest ride in Fantasyland.
It is.
It's usually a minimum of a 45 minute wait.
Yeah.
While you and Larissa were lining up for the parade on Saturday night mm-hmm. was when Gothfather and Ryas and Monty and I decided to go hit Fantasyland and go be willing to wait a couple lines. Because the common wisdom of hitting rides while the parade is going is very good. Mm-hmm. Because of everyone who is dedicated to seeing the parades, camping out on Main Street to get a good spot for the parades, that means lines are fractionally shorter for various rides, and especially yes. the popular rides.
So the only disappointment was, this is the second trip in a row, and meaning it's the second adult trip for Larissa, where Indiana Jones was down for refurbishment.
Right.
So she still has not gotten to go on to Indiana Jones.
But next year is the 20th Bats Day. Mm. I usually don't go to every year Bats Day because, you know, it's a chunk of change. So I have to budget for this stuff. But because it will be the 20th Bats Day, I am pretty determined to go
mm-hmm.
next year. And I know you and Larissa have been making noises about possibly going.
We might. There's going to be factors we're going to have to work out.
Right. But so there's always the chance that
yeah.
Indiana Jones will be open then.
And at that point, I get to see the other ride that I desperately want to see. So Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout just opened at Disneyland, but it was or at California Adventure, but it was not open during Bats Day.
Yeah, we could see the theming, but we could see the outside of how they reskinned Tower of Terror, but you could not go into the ride. Yeah. I am very glad that the last time I went to Disneyland and was in California Adventure that I did the walkthrough of Tower of Terror. It was a ride I was never actually going to go on because I don't like the idea of being dropped from a great height. I don't care what you say about Family Honor. You're wrong. Family Honor does not dictate that I go on that ride.
Well, and now it's gone.
Yes, so. But I did go through and was able to see the Twilight Zone Haunted Hotel theming, which was yeah. great.
But this time in California Adventure, I did get to catch two rides that I had not seen before. Finally went on Radiator Springs, which is the ride that Drew tricked you on last time.
Yes, because we got a fast pass. It was my husband and our friend Drew and I walking through downtown or walking through California Adventure, and someone randomly stopped us and you know noticed there were three of us and said, "Hey, do you guys want a fast pass for Radiator Springs? We have one for three people. You know, we have them. We're not going to be able to use them. We have to go back to the hotel." And we're like, "Sure, we will take them." So that was the only reason we were able to get onto the ride. And I foolishly thought it was just going to be sitting in your little car, noodling through pretty pretend scenery. Okay, I'm all, you know, I thought it was something like kind of like a dark ride. I was all good with that.
And you weren't wrong. It is a dark ride.
It is a dark ride in parts. But there is a point where everything gets much faster and you go up and down hills, and I am so not a roller coaster person. It is kind of laughable. And I apparently screamed, "I make poor choices," and you lied to me.
Well, because Drew told you it was a dark ride.
Yes, so...
Which was not a lie.
It just wasn't the entire truth.
Right. Yeah, because it is. It starts out as a dark ride of you're in one of the cars going through Radiator Springs.
Yep.
You're encountering characters from the movie. But then you and another car for the ride suddenly find yourself side by side and you race.
And that's where the roller coaster type elements get in. And I feel I have to explain, I don't do well with any sort of drops in rides. I mean, the drop at the beginning of Pirates, I scream my lungs out. When in Peter Pan, when you were in your pirate ship and flying over London and then going down into Neverland, I white knuckle the handles because I know I'm fine. I know I'm safe. It's still just a hindbrain thing with me, right. Which is why I will never, ever go on Space Mountain again.
You've been on enough.
I've been on it 3 times now. That's
amazes me.
That's so. Plenty.
So the other ride I hadn't ever been on was the Little Mermaid ride.
Oh, did you go on it?
I did go on it.
Okay.
And it's basically it's...
Oh, Little Mermaid, not Finding Nemo. Right.
Right. Little Mermaid. And it's in California Adventure. And it's basically using the Haunted Mansion...
Omnimover technology.
Yeah, technology. So it's like the Doom Buggies, only it's seashells.
It's big seashells.
They use a lot of video technology in it, as well as the animatronics. I mean, it's a cute little ride.
The animatronic of Ursula is actually genuinely creepy.
It's very well done.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's interesting. This was the first time I actually controlled myself, because usually, especially with somebody new, I usually feel the need to point out the auctioneer in Pirate, because he's always the most updated animatronic in the park.
But right.
I resisted. Just because it's like, you know, you don't have to do that, Jeff. Don't be that guy.
At one point when Gothfather and I were over in Tomorrowland and we were going up to the monorail to head back to the hotel, he looked down and he was like, "What ride is that?" And I said, "Oh, that's the Finding Nemo ride." And I explained to him that, you know, they really are working submarines. You basically get into a little submarine and go around the lagoon. And I'm not claustrophobic, but I can't do that ride. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Wow, no, never mind. Don't need to go on that."
Yeah. So we made good use of the monorail this time.
We did.
Because that's always... Monorail will take you back and forth between Downtown Disney and Tomorrowland. So it's good. I will give a quick plug for Hyperspace Mountain. Just that as an overlay for Space Mountain, it was, I think they did a very good job.
We were in the park on May the 4th.
Yes, we were.
So all the Star Wars fans were out.
And so Disney relaxed their cosplay rule for that day.
Yes. So not just little kids could be dressed up in character, but adults could be dressed up in character.
As long as it was Star Wars.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a nice, it was fun.
It was fun. That.
People were into it. We also saw some really good Disney bounding.
Yeah, there were some people doing really great Disney bounding. One thing I noticed this time is the prevalence of the Disney social clubs was much less this year. I did not see as many people in their denim vests with their social club affiliate patches as I've seen in previous years.
I think I only saw one. So we should... So again, in the last episode where Jill and I talked about Bat's Day, we had discussed... So the social clubs are... They literally have social clubs based around aspects of the park, either rides or areas. So like they have the 999ers, which are Haunted Mansion fans. They have the Sons of Anakin, who are Star Tour fans. And they will have, you know, leather vests.
Or denim vests, and they have custom patches, fabric patches made that they sew on. And from what I understand, you could only become part of the social club if two members from the social, existing members from the social club vouched for you and brought you in. The patches are really cute. I want the ones for the Haunted Mansion group.
So Disney bounding, as a quick reiteration, is since they do not allow adults to wear costumes in the park, Disney bounding is where groups will wear clothing that reflects or suggests characters. And
matching colors of different characters' outfits. I've seen some really cute Peter Pan Disney bounding where someone's wearing like a green shirt and yellow pants and they have like a green fedora with a red feather in it, stuff like that. I've seen some really cute Alice Disney boundings.
So yeah, we were actually in the line for the Alice in Wonderland ride.
Right.
And there was a family ahead of us and the baby, I mean, little toddler in arm, was actually wearing an Alice in Wonderland dress. Her mom was Disney bounding the Mad Hatter with clear color choices in her outfit, reflecting the Hatter, wearing a teacup necklace and having a green hat that was, I want to say, almost bowler style.
Yeah.
With the tag.
Yes.
In it. And then there was another woman in their party who was wearing a skirt and sweater that had the patterns of the Red Queen's
costume
on it. So, I mean, a very nice Disney bounding on the adults to match with the child's Alice dress.
And I love the idea of Disney bounding. I think it's a great thematic thing. Mm. And there's so much stuff you can put together now. There is, of course, the Disney bounding Tumblr, which, you know, suggests challenges, posts really good Disney boundings, put together polyvore sets themed for specific characters, stuff like that.
I saw a couple of mini Disney bounds.
Yep.
And I think just my favorite cosplay of a child throughout the entire weekend on, and I think this was actually on Bats Day itself. They had a group of cast members, Mary Poppins, Bert, and then a band.
Yes.
And it's from the animated sequence. So Bert's in the
straw candy stripe suit. Yeah.
And there was a little boy.
Oh, that was on the Saturday.
Was on the Saturday?
It was on the Saturday.
There was a little boy wearing the same costume as the Bert.
An absolute perfect replica. And he was like six because Gothfather and I saw them when we got into the park. And I completely lost it because, you know, Mary Poppins is a role model to me. I'm not as fussed on Bert, but Mary Poppins, oh my God. And so I saw this little boy dressed as Bert. And I ran up and I looked at his parents. I'm like, this is terribly forward of me. May I take a photo with your son? And they were like, oh, sure, of course. And cutest Bert I have ever seen in my life.
And my memory was that group right after that, because when I saw the little kid with Mary and Bert, they then went on the carousel.
Oh.
And so you had Mary and Bert on the carousel, and I think little boy was with them. And the band was behind them, still playing the song.
That's so wonderful.
So it was just one of those great moments. I think the reason you missed it is that was also the same moment the Blue Fairy walked by.
Oh, yes. And I lost again. No, it wasn't the Blue Fairy. It was the Fairy Godmother.
Fairy Godmother. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was the Fairy Godmother. So I know certain things. And one of the things is that Jill wants to see Mary Poppins and she wants to see the Fairy Godmother. And Jill was turned around looking at something. What, Jill, turn around. There's the Fairy Godmother. And Jill's like, whoosh.
Yeah, and I just took off because, oh my God, it's the Fairy Godmother. And I, as a Fairy Goth mother, I have to get a photo because, you know, union rules. So,
yeah. It was interesting this time. I mean, we certainly saw the characters in the park. I think it was because it was the grad night weekends.
Right.
It was a very busy time in the park for Bats Day to be coinciding with. I think we did pretty good overall.
One of the things that the official Disneyland app does, in addition to telling you wait times for rides, is it tells you when and where cast members will be.
Yeah.
I only figured that out like a couple days in, and finding cast members is never a big deal for me. You know, if I run into the Fairy Godmother, if I run into Mary Poppins, I'm super excited and I have to get my photos with them, but I am not going to go wait at specific times. And frequently, I don't want to say lesser known, but the less big name face characters like the Fairy Godmother, like Mary and Bert, like Alice and the Hatter, they don't always show up on that app.
Yeah.
That's just a case of how scheduling works out and where they're able to get cast members out to.
Yeah.
But the fact that we were there for 5 days meant we were able to take things at a more leisurely pace. We didn't feel the need to frantically cram in everything we had to every day. There was always that knowledge that, you know, we can come back and hit these rides at another time. My husband, who is he likes Disneyland okay, but he is nowhere near the Disney fan we are. At one point, I was talking to him on, I think, the Saturday. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I can't believe that you guys have been there for 2.5 days and you're not insane yet. And I'm like, I know, you would lose your mind after one day. And he's like, right, that's why I don't go with you. Whereas I felt that the 5-day trip was actually the perfect amount of time.
Well, that, and I think I think our smartest decision was to stay through Monday.
Yes.
Because Monday was sort of the cleanup day.
Yes.
It was less busy in the park. It allowed us to do the last bits of things we wanted to do. It was post actual Bats Day.
Right. It was a little more relaxed.
And, so let's talk a little bit about some of the other Bats Day traditions as we participated in them. Specifically, I want to talk about the photo.
The photo is great, and this year was different in that they had, I mean, every year, the big photo in front of the castle, they've got a Disney staff photographer mm-hmm. doing the photo, but this year they actually brought one of the double-decker buses from Main Street and parked it in front of the castle so that they could have people going up on, they could have the Disneyland photographers go up on that and get a larger panoramic photo so they didn't have to do the stitching together of multiple exposures like they've done in the past. Mm-hmm. And this year they had a lineup set up where they had a waiting holding area where if you were going to be in the photo, if you got there early, you could wait in line for them to set up where we were all going to stand in front of the castle, which was good.
Yeah. So the things I remember, well, one, it rained.
Which was so wonderful. I mean, it was not rain to Seattle people. It was like a light drizzle, but
yeah.
But all the Californians were freaking out and it was cold and it was wet for
In
them.
Fact, somebody said, oh, it's raining. Aren't you worried? I'm from Seattle.
We don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. This is the kind of weather where I sit there and go, do I need a coat? And
yeah.
Right now the answer is no. Because it's one of those things that if the rain's going to evaporate off of me in fairly quick order, I don't care.
Yeah.
And that's definitely what this was. But it was nice and it was overcast, so
yes.
We weren't under sweltering sun. I was not with the rest of the party in the photo. And part of that is I'm fairly tall.
Yes.
And I don't kneel so well.
No.
So I decided, you know what, I'll just be blocked. I literally kept moving further and further back to make sure shorter people got in front of me.
Right.
So that and you can still make me out in the photo if
oh, yeah.
you know where to look because I'm not a small man. You were, of course, right in front.
I was right in front, so was Gothfather. Also, I was wearing multiple shades of burgundy, so in this sea of black and purple clothing, I am immediately visible.
Yeah, and Larissa was right behind you.
Yep. Ryas was right next to me.
I was going to say, Ryas was right next to you. So, I mean, we were there. I was sitting talking with guys in back, and there was even this discussion. You know, we got into discussion that you and I have had before on, I guess, what we would call the goth spectrum.
Right.
And, you know, if I were to dress up, to more actively dress up goth, I would probably look very similar to Gothfather.
Right.
But,
you know, nice colored shirts, waistcoats, ties, stuff like that.
But with me, we've always discussed, so there's always the question of, am I a stealth goth or am I goth adjacent?
I have come around to the idea that you are a stealth goth.
Because, basically, if you look at my aesthetics, you know, my books, my readings, my movies, everything, the things I like, you know, I can check off the goth checklist with the best of them. I just don't generally look the part.
Right, which is fine. And it is one of the things I constantly talk about on Gothic Charm School and all Gothic Charm School social media of that you do not have to fit a visual goth template to be part of the subculture. Some people don't want to dress up like that. Some people aren't able to for various reasons, and that's fine. Not everyone has the patience, time, effort, or inclination to dress like, you know, a deranged Victorian ghost like I do. So that's fine. But yeah, I can see where people will be very confused by you and be like, maybe you're goth adjacent.
Well, I was wearing black slacks and a dark shirt.
Right.
But it was still, just so I didn't glaringly stand out in the photo. But yeah, and it's, I mean, we were discussing the fact that for some reason in my head, I was alternating between She Sells Sanctuary and Cut You Up as the song stuck in my head, which is interesting because, yeah, everyone's like, what's your favorite Bauhaus song? Well, it's Pelle Lugosi's Dead, but it's not my favorite Peter Murphy song because Cut You Up is my favorite Murphy song.
Whereas I spent all weekend with Grinning Ghost stuck in my
head.
Go figure.
Well, of course, because it's the mansion. That's so. The other thing, though, was we participated in the unofficial. Well, they're all unofficial traditions,
right, but
Goths on a boat.
Goths on a boat. This is a thing where after people do the group photo in front of the castle, there is a vocal contingent of people who make it their goal to get as many people from Bat's Day over on the Jungle Cruise immediately afterwards. So, of course, Jungle Cruise being one of Jeff's favorite rides and me being very amused by it, I was like, all right, we are doing Goths on a boat. So we...
Godfather went along.
Yep, we trooped over there. We collected some baby Goths along the way.
We ended up having a party of 12.
Yeah.
Because we did accumulate several baby Goths. Basically, they were kind of in line with us, and we started talking to them. And I finally turned around and said, so how many are in our party? And Gothwater went, 12. And they were like, we're in your party? Yes, you're at our party.
Oh, those were the... So they were super adorable kids. And we... Gothfather and I first met them at the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Where they looked at Gothfather and I and kind of freaked out. And they're like, will you adopt us? And we're like, there's a process. There's a form. But...
Vetting.
Yes, vetting. But the thing that kind of amused me about this is... And this is going to sound incredibly egotistical, but I don't mean it that way. They didn't know who I was. Now, one of the things about my being so visible on social media and running Gothic Charm School is that I am a wacky cult internet presence. There are people who recognize me on site. And this always happens at Bat's Day where people are like, oh my God, Auntie Jilly. And they kind of freak out at me for a little bit. And we talk and we take pictures and I give them a hug and it's all good. And these kids didn't know who I was, which is fine. That's totally fine. I don't expect people to know who I am. But while we were in line for Goths on a Boat, somebody did come up in line and was like, oh my God, you're the lady from Gothic Charm School. Can I take a photo with you? Your book means the world to me. And we talked for a little bit. And apparently the baby Goths then turned to Gothfather and were like, is she someone? And Gothfather was like, yeah, she is. And
here's
like,
the cards.
Here's the card. Here, learn about Gothic Charm School. So it struck me as really sweet that these baby Goths were trying to imprint on us just completely randomly.
Yeah.
Hello, older Goth people, teach us your ways.
Although I think that was also where we got in one of those. So I think sometimes I feel sorry for people around us because of the conversations we will get into that are so uniquely us. This one was... Somebody said something and Jill said, see, I could totally start a cult. It would be fine. And I had to look at her and said, I've never said you couldn't start a cult. I've only ever objected to the fire and the summoning anything larger than your head. But a cult is perfectly acceptable.
Which means as soon as I get someone to fill out the damn paperwork for me, yes, I am starting a cult. This is my answer to a lot of issues with the world right now.
Yeah. So anyway, we did the Goths on a Boat. It was fun. This was the time we got the cannibalism jokes.
Yes, we did have the cannibalism jokes from the skipper, which was nice. They don't always do those, so. Yeah.
And I think they saw us and went, this is a crowd that'll appreciate the cannibalism jokes. Yeah.
No. And you and Larissa didn't go along for the photos of the mansion,
no,
did you?
No, we ended up deciding to bail on that.
So this is something else that is it's an official Bat's Day tradition, but we never know from year to year if Disney staff are going to go along with it. But the tradition is all of the Bat's Day attendees start lining up by the mansion at about 8:30 at night. And then what they do is they run the regular mansion line for other, you know, other people at the park. Mm-hmm. But the Bat's Day attendees basically go through the fast pass line. And we get groups of 15 to 20 of us on the steps of the front steps of the mansion, and then they take photos.
Mm-hmm.
So each group, you know, you get in with a group of other Goths, get your photo in front of the mansion, and then go on to the ride.
Yeah, unfortunately, by that time, Larissa and I were exhausted. We actually had gone back to the hotel.
Right. Whereas I was like, oh no, we have to do mansion photos, and we have to go on the mansion a couple more times.
And it was fine. So, I myself am pretty sure I went on the mansion about probably close to 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
I think just about every time with you.
Yeah.
It was a fun trip.
I have to tell you one of the best mansion stories. So one of the times where I think it was like Friday or Saturday night where mm-hmm. I went back to I was in the park on my own. It was close to park closing, but I was of course heading towards the mansion. And mm-hmm. I know it had to have been a Saturday night. It was a grad night.
Okay.
Because there were these two teenage girls in line right by me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was trying to reassure her friend that it's not scary. It's not a scary ride.
Right.
And her friend's like, I don't know. I scare really easily. I don't know. And the one girl looked at me and said, okay, she looks like she's been on this before. What do you think? And I'm like, I am the wrong person to ask because I will move into this place if I would be allowed to. But it's not scary. And so as I kept walking through the line with them, I kept trying to find points of reference for the girl who was worried, for, you know, giving her an approximate level of how scary it was. And I was like, okay, it's the same level of scary as Beetlejuice. She's like, I never saw it. And I'm like, okay, same level of scary as, like, Adam's Family. And she's like, never saw that. And I'm like, okay, same level of scary as, like, Scooby-Doo cartoons? And she said, I was a sheltered Christian homeschooled child. I've never seen that. And I'm like, okay, less scary than the Chronicles of Narnia. And she was like, okay, that's a frame of reference I can totally work with. I can do that. So that was great. They got onto the ride right after me. So when the ride ended and I got off and then they got out of their dune buggy, I turned around. I'm like, well? And the girl who was worried was like, no, that's awesome. And I have to go on it again. I'm like, yes, good. Welcome to our family.
Yeah. So yeah, overall, I mean, it was a very successful trip.
It was a wonderful trip.
I learned some new things about the park, as always.
Yes.
Paradise Pier was a revelation.
Was a great hotel. I'm going to stay there again.
I think it's going to be my go-to.
Yeah.
From now on.
I learned that I absolutely do not have to get a pass for California Adventure. There's just not enough there that I will go do. It is far smarter for me to just get the pass for the main park, and that's it.
I need at least one day. I need at least one day, because there are things I like there, and there's things that Larissa really likes there. Actually, because for her, we went on Soarin'.
Right, you went on Soarin', you went on California Screamin'.
Which we broke.
Right.
It broke right after we got it. They had to walk people off the roller coaster.
Oh, no.
So, I think the other thing that I kind of took away from it was that we've built up enough good traditions on how to manage the park that it's something we can enjoy, but it doesn't feel we've managed to refine it to enough of an art form that there is no pressure.
We do not have to do the Disney Death March.
No.
Which is one of the things that I see a lot of people at the park going through, where it's obvious that, you know, especially families with little kids, where they're so determined to make every moment count of the Disney experience that they get really frustrated mm-hmm. with lines, they get frustrated with heat. You know, little kids only have so much stamina before they are just done and need to flop. And I saw a couple of parents who are like, no, we have to stay in the park and go do all these things. And I'm like, this is not how you do it. This is not a relaxing and fun way to experience the park.
So we had, Larissa found us those water bottles.
Right.
And these slings on them that we were able to wear, so they were out of the way. So we were able to maintain good hydration. We packed enough socks that we would always go back to the hotel for an afternoon, usually nap.
Right, you guys napped.
And then I would change into a new pair of socks, because it's amazing how much that helps your feet survive.
Yes.
But then I think there was just also we've kept good on the food. Oh, you know what we haven't mentioned that I think bears at least before we wrap up today? The Blue Bayou experience.
So we really wanted to have a meal at the Blue Bayou. I had not been to the Blue Bayou since the time over 20 years ago when we did the group trip. Mm-hmm. And one of the things with getting the concierge suite is that you can ask the cast members to help you get reservations. And so we asked on Thursday afternoon when we got into the hotel. And the cast member looked at things, was like, it doesn't look like anything's open. You know, you guys can keep checking back. But so Saturday afternoon, one of the times that Godfather and I were in the concierge suite without you guys, I went to the cast member. I said, I know it's a long shot. Can you tell me if there's anything available at Blue Bayou on Monday? And they looked and they're like, yeah, we can get you guys lunch. We can get you in there at like 1:20. I was like, fantastic. So it's four of us. Thank you very much. So we were able to go. And for those of you who don't know, the Blue Bayou is a reservation sit-down restaurant in New Orleans Square. And the thing is, it's in the building of Pirates of the Caribbean. It overlooks the beginning ride section of the Pirates. So the boats go by. It's in that beautiful Twilight Swamp section. And you can watch people go by as they go to their watery doom.
And yeah, it's so the atmosphere is beautiful because you have all those nighttime sound effects.
Yep.
You hear the banjo playing lightly. We got a table right on the river,
yes,
essentially right by the water. So we were able to directly interact sometimes with the riders.
Yes.
There'd be waving or
people asking us to throw them bread rolls.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually happened.
Yeah.
It was fun. We also, so they have these lemonades they do. One is kind of a regular lemonade, and one is they call mint julep, which is a minty lemonade to mimic the idea of the mint julep, which is a Southern traditional alcoholic drink.
Yeah, there's no bourbon in the one.
No bourbon in this one. But what they also said is, do you want the commemorative light-up ice cubes? Why, yes. So the drinks came with these little plastic cubes in them that cycled through light.
They have little LED lights embedded in them and batteries.
So our drinks glowed.
We all got glow cubes.
And we kept them. And once all the drinks were there, Jill was like, we have all the glow cubes. We can begin the ritual.
I have my glow cube. It's sitting in the other room.
You know, yeah. We had talked about, should we show Tekla, our goddaughter, the and Larissa said, only if you're wanting to give up that glow cube, because if you show it to her, you have to give it to her.
Right.
I'll have to think about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But the food is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you're at a Disney restaurant, so service is wonderful. They're very attentive. They're just great. Again, it's pricey. But yeah. It's worth it for the experience.
It's about the same price range, actually, as the Jazz Diner was, though.
Yeah, well, it's also all pretty much a very similar menu. Same sort of
They're
food.
Both New Orleans-style restaurants. One thing I've just kind of decided is some of the best gumbo I've had in the world is at Disneyland.
I know this makes us heretics for saying that, but I kind of agree. I really like the Disneyland gumbo.
I think it's because they just go out, they really work hard at making it a good gumbo.
Yeah. That's very true.
And so, yeah, I had it at the Jazz Kitchen, and I had it at... And I know that you can get bread bowls of it.
Yeah.
At the
walk-up window in New Orleans Square.
So, the only other food tradition I had to maintain is a corn dog at the Little Red Wagon, which I did. I was really hungry as we were leaving the park one night. I was like, I got to get something to eat. Hey, there's no line over there. I'm going to go grab a corn dog. So I got my corn dog.
You got your corn dog. You were very happy. I don't really have any food traditions at Disneyland. Though I do, before we wrap up, I want to talk about the Disneyland Hotel at Steakhouse 55 has an afternoon tea that you can get reservations for. And my friend Meg, when I said I was going to Bat Stay, said, tea? Steakhouse 55? And I said, yes, let's do that. So she got reservations, and Gothfather and myself and Meg's mother, Dorothy, and Meg all went to this. And it's a delightful afternoon tea experience. They have people who are trained about tea, so they can talk about the different flavor notes, the different caffeine levels, what you may want from a different flavor of tea, what seasonal teas are appropriate, and... Again, they also have the deluxe tea edition where you get a glass of Prosecco and you get an additional like salad with other things in it. And the food is delightful. The service is impeccable. We discovered that if everyone got the deluxe tea, that the people who don't actually drink alcohol could donate their beverages to their other table members. So Meg and I each had two glasses of fizzy wine and a lot of sugar and caffeine, which was awesome. But I, of course, took photos and posted them to Tumblr and Instagram. And one of the comments on my photo of the Tower of Snacky Goodies that I, you know, tagged with Disneyland Hotel was I got a comment from somebody on Tumblr of, oh, I work in the kitchen. I'm one of the chefs for that. It's nice to see our work getting love. Which I'm like, alrighty then. That's kind of awesome. And you should have come out and said hi to me. Which, again, was another recurring theme of people... who saw me at Bat Stay Black Market or saw me in the park and then later posted on Tumblr, oh, I saw Auntie Jilly. I was too shy to go talk to her.
Well, the one in the Jungle Cruise line, I know that somebody that he took a picture with you.
Only because his girlfriend pressed him to, because he this wonderful young man came up and said, and basically kind of waved at me and said, you're Jillian Venters. And I was like, yes, I am. And he told me this. It was incredibly touching how my book and my website really helped him and made this huge difference in his life, which I never know how to respond to that because it just means so much to me. And I try not to cry at these people, but it's really hard. But then he started to turn away and his girlfriend was like, don't you want a picture with her? And he's like, I couldn't. I'm like, yes, you can come here. Do you hug? We hug now.
And I ended up in the photo.
Yes, you
in
did.
In the background. So I got tagged.
Yes. But it's just one of those things where, And it's a general thing. If any of you who know me through social media, who follow my random burblings online, if you see me out and about somewhere, please come up and say hi. I may not be able to stop and talk for a really long time, but I love meeting everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, this is part of what the whole online life is about, is making connections and getting to meet people. And so... Yeah. That's also one of the things I love about Bat's Day. I mean, mm-hmm. there are multi-generational goth families coming from all around the world
mm-hmm.
who show up for yeah. it. And this is their big chance to go out, see the other goths, be in this magical controlled environment. And it's just fantastic.
Well, we had an elder goth meetup on Saturday in downtown Disney. And not too many people joined, but a family.
And they're wonderful folks. I know them from online.
Yeah. And so it was a mother, father, and their daughter.
Yes.
And so, again, the multi-generational, they're goth, but so is their daughter.
Yes. And this was a meetup organized by Rias through the Elder Goth Central Facebook community. Yeah.
So just more, just, it, I think, again, it was a good community event.
It was.
Done within Disneyland. And so a lot of magic just sort of came together.
Yeah. It was, Bat's Day is one of my favorite events. I have gone to a lot of goth events and I love them, but I'm a big Disney geek, and the idea of people who are interested in the darker aesthetic still going to the happiest place on earth and having a great time mm-hmm. and not being cynical or edgy or any of the other unfortunate mm-hmm. stereotypes that occasionally get thrown on the goths, but just, you know, yes, we're here, we like spooky things, we like horror movies, mm-hmm. we like darker stuff, and we like Disney. We are here and we are going to go line up to get on the Peter Pan ride.
And I think it's hard to tell if you look at the great photo, because at some point it just becomes a sea of people.
Yes.
But there was a good, just well represented range of the goth dress aesthetic.
Yeah.
In it was, the group. Everyone, it was all over. Everyone from old school punk mm-hmm. aesthetic up to through the elegant,
through the frilly Victorian goths, yeah. a lot of people in, I mean, there were people in, you know, black shorts and t-shirts and stuff like that, but it's mm-hmm. because there's no required dress up
yeah.
thing for Bat's Day. It's just come to the park and have a good time and meet other people from your spooky subculture.
Yeah. I was sitting next to some guy who I was like, so are you like spooky ringmaster, because that's kind of what it looked like, dude. And yeah, it was fun.
But
all right.
I am certainly going to try and go to the 2018 20th mm-hmm. Bat's Day. I'm determined to make that happen.
I would love to make it. It's, I mean, factors are going to have to be yeah. determined. I won't know until we get through Christmas.
Right.
Just because that's how my life nope. working where I work
nope.
is.
No, understandable.
So with that, again, we thank you all for listening. I know a lot of you are probably not regular listeners and have come here to hear... hear the adventures of Jill at Bat's Day.
20 times on the mansion, oh my god!
And so welcome. If you want more information, you can go look in our archives. Jill has co-hosted the show several times, mm-hmm. including our previous discussion of Bat's Day. Or you can just check out the other shenanigans that my regular co-host Daniel and I get into. If you want to drop us a line at the show, you can go to the website fanboynewsnetwork.com and just leave a message in the comment section. If you want to get a hold of Jill, you can go to gothiccharmstool.com, and she has many ways to get a hold of her.
I'm on all the social media at this point, so you can find me on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Dreamwidth, all of that good stuff.
And next time, I fully expect Daniel to be back from his epic road trip, which I'm sure he'll talk about. We'll get into the regular geek culture shenanigans we normally talk about then. Until then, thank you very much for listening. We will talk to you all again very soon, or as they say in the mansion, hurry back.
Hurry back.
This program is produced by Jeff Harris and Fanboy News Network, and is copyright 2017 to Jeff Harris and Fanboy News Network. All rights are reserved, including rights to copy and redistribute this program. All music in this podcast comes from The Footage Firm and is used under a royalty-free license.